Welcome to the High Percentage Podcast. 60% of the time, every time.
Welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. And today we're asking the question, does it really pay to be first at tournaments and how much? High Percentage is brought to you by Keenan Cornelius' Lapel Guard Encyclopedia program. If you enter the code HIGHPERCENTAGE at checkout, you can get 10% off. And actually, Keenan is a little bit of an inspiration for why I'm doing today's episode and probably the subsequent one, which was that a long time ago on HIGHPERCENTAGE, I wrote an article on tempo, and I related tempo to the game of chess and used that as an example of how we can use tempo in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And sometime later, a couple months later, I heard Keenan on his Instagram channel talking about tempo, and he was using the exact term tempo, and I think he might have even talked about chess a little bit, or maybe there was a chess icon there or something. So that's when I knew I was with the right partner. Keenan Cornelius' Lapel Guard Encyclopedia is a fantastic training system. I think that people that really buy these kind of like DVDs or the online portals and adopt like powerful closed systems for their jiu-jitsu really go through leaps and bounds in their training. We've all met that guy at the gym or that girl at the gym that, you know, they were sort of a jack of all, master of none, and then they got super into Kimuras or they got super into, you know, leg lock positions. And Keenan's system is like that. Once you adopt it, you get really into it, you become a very serious guard player, and you can really accelerate your growth and double your gains through programs like that. So I think it's a great program. It's 7 hours long. It's 5 chapters. He shows a variety of guards. It's a very unique program. You don't see anyone else teaching lapel guard like he is. And if you're interested in it and you want to support the podcast and what we do here, you can enter high percentage at checkout, 10% off. That's high, the word, and then percent, the symbol. So let's get right into it. One of the dirtiest words in jiu-jitsu is aggression. And if someone comes up to you and they say, oh, this guy, I rolled with him and he's very aggressive, that's almost never a compliment, right? So we sort of associate the word aggression with someone that they're not using as much technique, they're more relying on strength and athleticism. And because of that, we sort of tend to encourage people training not to be aggressive. And also that kind of fits in with the theory of jiu-jitsu, which is, you know, intelligence over brute strength, and smaller people using patience and cunning can kind of lure more aggressive opponents into traps and beat them. But the flip side of that is that sometimes, because we don't want to be aggressive, we adopt a very sort of defensive and passive game. And in the last episode, we talked about the theories of offense versus defense, and I've made the case that really offense is very important, and if you want to win at the competitive level, and personally, I think if you just want to experience success at jiu-jitsu in general, you need to get offensive at some point. Of course, you want solid defense, but eventually you need to attack. And what I wanted to talk about today was the difference between aggression and tempo. Because when we look at tournament matches, we see that actually aggressive fighters tend to experience success. They're rewarded for their aggression. But instead of using the word aggression, I like to think of it as tempo. There's a lot of fighters that they attack relentlessly, but they're not necessarily doing it in an unintelligent way. I mean, they're picking their shots very carefully. They have a game plan and they're really pressing their advantages. So just because they're moving and they're attacking does not mean that they're giant brutes and they're just trying to smash everything. There's a lot of people that are hyper offensive and they control the tempo, but I still wouldn't call them aggressive. In the next episode, I'm going to get way into the super nerdy stuff, the game theory about what tempo is and why it's important. But right now, I just want to use some of the data that we've found to make the case that being aggressive, quote-unquote, in a calculated way is actually going to make you more likely to be successful in a tournament. And the way that I'm going to measure that today is by looking at who took the first action in a tournament and did that make them more likely to win. Okay, so here's what we did. We watched 100 competitive BJJ matches. Unlike the last study where we watched white belts only, with this one we did all belt levels. So we did 20 white belt, 20 blue belt, 20 purple, 20 brown, 20 black. And of the each of the groups of 20, half of them were in a gi and half of them were in no gi. So we split everything very evenly. And what we did in each match was we recorded who took the first action and did the person that took the first action go on to win the fight. Not only that, but we also looked at what was the first action. So we broke it into a couple different categories. Number one was guard pulls, pretty self-explanatory. Number two was submission attempts that were attempted from like a standing position. Number three was completed takedowns, whether they were scored or unscored. And then the last one was failed takedowns. And failed takedowns was the trickiest thing because a lot of times people fake takedown attacks, especially with things like leg trips, and it's not always clear whether it quote-unquote counts as a takedown attempt or not. But we came out with some pretty detailed criteria of what we considered an attempted takedown. A lot of it was, did it provoke a reaction from the opponent? Did the reaction have a significant impact on the course of the match? So I'll give you the big picture results first, and then we'll drill down at a finer and finer level. So big picture, 57% of the competitors that took the first action went on to win their fights. For competitors that were wearing a gi, that percentage jumped up to 61%. For competitors that were in no gi, that number actually dropped down to 52%. That was really surprising to me because it would seem to indicate that in no gi, being first really is not very important. It gives you a 2% advantage. But when you drill down deeper into the specific actions of what the first move was, you'll see that it still actually matters quite a bit whether you're in a gi or not. There were actually a lot of differences between gi and no gi players, enough that it's probably a whole separate podcast, but I'll kind of bottom line it. First off, pulling guard is much safer in a gi than outside of a gi. So guard pullers, I think 60% of them, no, 58% of guard pullers in a gi went on to win their matches. But in no gi, it was actually only 45%. So most of the people that tried to pull guard in no gi actually would lose. But there was one action that across the board would consistently make you highly likely to win your matches, and that was getting a takedown. So in both gi and no gi, the percentages of fighters who got a takedown and went on to win were almost exactly the same. They were both 71% and some change. And believe it or not, when you're wearing a gi, if your first action is a takedown that fails, it still makes you more likely to win a match. 66% of the competitors who had a failed takedown as the first action would go on to win. Now, in no-gi, that actually dropped quite a bit. It went down to 35%, and I think there's a lot of reasons for why that is, but like I said, that's a whole separate podcast. Here's the bottom line. On the whole, being first increases your chances of winning, even if it's a marginal chance because it was something like a guard pull or a failed takedown. Now, if you score a takedown and that's the first action of the fight, it doesn't matter what the rule set or format is, your odds of winning go up significantly. So it pays to try to take that first action in a match. It's also worth mentioning that all of these results were across all belt levels. And typically, I don't like doing that because I think that there are very big differences between white, blue, purple, and so on. So throwing them all together in a giant pot doesn't always, in my mind, give you the most useful information. When I did the 100 white belt matches, what we saw is that for white belts, being first gives you an incredible statistical advantage, even if your first action is something that you totally mess up, like a failed takedown. So basically, the newer you are to the game, the more and more of an advantage you'll get when you're first. Okay, so hopefully that helps drive home the point that being offensive, playing for tempo, and taking the first action is worthwhile pursuit in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. In the next episode, we're going to talk about why that is, and we're going to get into the concept of tempo and why Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, almost more than any other sport, is a tempo game. And I'm really excited to share that with you. That's all for this podcast. If you want to check out all the articles that we've published over on the website, you can go to highpercentagemartialarts.com. If you want to get in contact with us, I'm at highpercentagemartialarts@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where we update with all of our articles, our podcasts, and I even do a Facebook Live once a week where we watch tournaments and matches in real time and do some of the data recording so you can get a little insight into our process. I should mention that if you want to keep track with other projects that I'm involved in, I'm the managing editor of a great website called ujujitsu.com. I write articles on there, and also I help corral the other writers. We try to put out quality content every week. And I've also written a book called The True Believers. It's available on Amazon. You can just Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It's kind of a biography of my early martial arts training in Monterey. Check that out. Thank you for listening to this, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.